Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining me on the line, Griffith David, who is the founder and CEO of Habanero Foods International in Bangalore. And among other things, Habanero, of course, is a Mexican food restaurant chain. Now they're getting into sauces. And Griff, of course, has a number of Subway franchises as well. So, Griff, good morning and welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good. How's everything in Bangalore this morning?
We are locked in, but hanging in there, man.
Oh, that's good to hear. Griff, you know, you were born in Malaysia. You lived here in Singapore. Your grandparents came to Singapore in the 50s. You know, you have a deep relationship with this city. But take us through a little bit about your history. It's quite interesting how you came to be where you are right now.
Yes, Glenn. Thank you. And good morning to your listeners as well. Yeah, you know, listening to your radio kind of took me back to my Singapore days when Liz and I used to live in Singapore. You know, I was finishing my, just getting out of B school in the U.S. and got hired by Intel and asked to go to Singapore, which was very exciting for me because, like I said earlier to you, that my grandparents moved to Singapore in the 60s, late 50s, 60s. And, you know, we've got so many cousins in Singapore, you know, three generations of them there. And so I was very excited to move to Singapore and kind of reconnect and be part of that whole Singapore story. So joined Intel, was part of the Intel Inside marketing team. Very exciting time to be in Singapore. You know, the internet boom was just starting. Intel was at the height of its market domination, 90% plus market share. Pentium chips are being launched.
Oh, those days, huh? Oh, those days.
Yeah, the good old days.
Now, you were here for about 5 years. You left in 2001. And and what happened after that?
Yeah, you know, I finished with Yahoo, launched Yahoo Shopping in Singapore, and then ended up in Finland with another classmate of mine who was launching one of the world's first gaming companies in Finland, this Nokia-funded company. And that's a different story. Ended up back in the States and with a company that was starting to offshore to India. You know, offshoring to India was taking off big time back then. In the U.S. had just discovered the India story. So I was going back and forth to India with this company and started realizing this massive opportunity in India. You know, middle class was growing. The consumption story was picking up. And I was like, wow, I want to be part of this story, right? So, and I was kind of getting a little burnt out with technology and being with tech. And I was always a foodie, loved food. And I was like, man, I really want to do something with food, maybe start my own brand. and I tried to raise some money, you know, and from friends and family or friends and fools, as they say. And some of my friends said, hey, Griff, we love you, but what do you know about food? You don't know anything about food.
You're like, I know how to order. I know how to eat. I know how to pay the bill. How hard can it be, right?
Yeah. Well, how hard?
But isn't that interesting? Because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs start that way, right? They have an idea of something they enjoy and they love, right? Which is great. And then they just go for it, right? And that's what you did.
That's right, Glenn, because I think if you realize the difficulties that lay ahead of you, maybe you can never get into it in the first place. But I think that's what you do as an entrepreneur. You kind of take, you have a vision, and then you kind of follow through step by step, and it unfolds for you, right?
So fast forward, Griff, you ended up with five habanero restaurants and burrito boy restaurants in India, seven Subway franchises, because you got into the franchise business with Subway sandwiches. That is an impressive portfolio that you have developed over the years across India.
Well, I was fortunate to be part of the Subway story as it started in India very early, you know, and kind of jumped in, and Subway India Marketing Board was just being set up. So I got to be part of the Subway Marketing Board, which gave me tremendous insight into what was happening with the India story. So got into that, and then we're lucky enough that the Bangalore International Airport was being launched, and we got the franchise for the Bangalore International Airport, which I'm proud to say has won the number one units worldwide multiple times.
So you know, it is the busiest Subway in the world. What do you say, 1,500 units a day?
Yeah, we don't have 1,400 units a day. It's a 24/7 operation.
Oh, my gosh.
We've been open for 11 years now. Unfortunately, we had to shut down last week because of the COVID shutdown.
Sure.
But But yeah, it's and you know, so Subway was just taking off, and it was exciting to be part of that story. And then I moved on to wanting to launch our own brand, something that we could call our own. So hence the habanero story came up. Indians love all things spicy, and I remember as an Indian in the U.S., my go-to comfort food was always Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, hey, Indians are going to love Mexican food. So so we ended up starting the habanero chain restaurant across southern India and in Goa. And the big thing for us is that we are pivoting away from that into the softened retail side of the business, which is a very exciting space to be. The Indian consumption story is evolving. The middle class, as you know, is growing. People are traveling. You've got people traveling to other parts of the world, experimenting with global cuisines. You've got people watching cooking shows. You've got a lot of international restaurants opening up across Bangalore. And now people want to kind of experiment and eat at home, right?
Mm.
So I go outside and have a great, you know, meal with sriracha. And I want to come home and cook something with sriracha for my family. So that's where you kind of step in. And our tagline is cook like a chef. You know, you could stay at home and cook and whip up something very easily for your family and come out looking very good, come out looking very cool.
So, you know, just smothering something with ketchup isn't enough anymore. Is that what you're telling me in my cooking skills?
Yeah, something like that, buddy.
So you have a lot of different sauces, though. You got, of course, your famous salsa, but pasta sauce, barbecue sauce, yeah. Peri-peri, hot sauces. How many different SKUs are you going to have in that line?
Well, we have around 10 SKUs right now. We've just been doing this for the last 2 years, and we're scaling up across the country. We should probably have around 15 to 20 SKUs in the next year or two. You know, it became apparent to us as we started researching the Indian market and the Indian retail scene that there was this big gap that was emerging in the market. And that's a classic sign of an emerging market, that these gaps appear in the beginning, and it's critical to kind of take advantage of that pretty early, right? So we saw that there was a large import category, which is one of the fastest growing categories in India because of demand. So a lot of products from Italy, from the U.S., from Europe, from all over the place were being imported. And then we saw, and those are expensive, nicely packaged, high-quality products. Then we started seeing that, of course, there are a lot of Indian products at the bottom end, I would say, fairly low quality and low price. And there was nothing in the middle. You know, I didn't want to buy these expensive imports all the time. Neither did I want to buy any cheaper Indian brands as well. So I was like, hey, here's an opportunity to create an international quality product at an Indian price. And that's what we do. You know, so high quality packaging, high quality taste, high quality product at a relatively decent price in the middle class. Kind of
Very thing. Interesting. And this expansion that you're doing into the retail space from the restaurant space, has that been kind of a natural for you? How did that first come about? How did you realize that your sauces and things were gonna have some traction?
Yeah, great question. When customers would come to the restaurant and say, "Hey, we love your tortillas, we love your salsa. Can we package it and take it home with us," right? So we kind of started doing that, and then I realized, hey, this might be an opportunity. Got together with my chef, and we were like, hey, let's try and bottle this thing. Of course, it's a very different ball game making a fresh salsa in the restaurant to bottling it and having a shelf life of 10 months. So then we ended up getting food technologists on board. Started first by supplying to other restaurants who recognized our products, build up the restaurant. The HoReCa business, that's what it's called, HoReCa, hotels, restaurants, catering.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of started branching into retail outlets. And so we're now in most of southern India, and we are across the country on Amazon and some of the other online platforms.
Yeah, it's such a massive country. Obviously, you probably don't have much of a need to go overseas because there's plenty of low-hanging fruit, in India as well. But, you know, is the only way that any of us here in Singapore can get any of your sauces is to actually pick some up the next time we're in India, which, of course, could be a while now given COVID-19. But is that the only way to get stuff back here and enjoy it here in Singapore?
I'll bring some over the next time I'm in Singapore, Glenn, for you.
That was the right answer.
We're talking to some distributors in Singapore at the moment. But I think our focus, like you rightly said, is going to continue to be India. We'd like to be in Delhi and Mumbai. in Calcutta. These are massive markets. You know, I've got 15, 20 Singapores right here in India to
Of course. And Griff, speaking with Griffith David, the founder and CEO of Habanero Foods International in Bangalore. And, you know, if we can turn a little bit more serious, you know, COVID-19 is going to so badly impact so many on the retail and on the restaurant front. Despite the fact that people are still trying to support restaurants by ordering takeaway and things like that, is there any suggestion? Do you have any suggestions about how any of these, you know, quite vulnerable industries can try to recession proof during this extremely uncertain time?
Yeah, Glenn, this is a black swan event. You know, I don't think a month ago I would have taken anybody seriously if they told me that everything's going to shut down, right? None of us knew this was coming.
Yeah.
So obviously, very, very dark times. But I think there are slivers of opportunity. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I see areas where costs have come down significantly. So if one can conserve cash and hang in there, I think cash is going to be king. You got to hang in there. You got to cut down your overheads. You got to restrict all your non-essential movements in your business and kind of hang in there. And as the economy starts picking up, you'll start noticing opportunities. For instance, in our business, listing fees and getting into retail chains is a fairly large expense. It's a entry barrier for us, a high entry barrier for us. And we are having those same chains reach out to us now and say, hey, we're going to give you a 50% discount if you want to come in. Because they're desperate for money. They're desperate for revenue as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can acquire other properties. You can acquire other assets. For instance, trying to import equipment from China and places like that is going to be far cheaper. And for me, especially, I think imports, with the change in the rupee rate and depreciation of the rupee, imports are going to be more expensive for people, which means local-made products are going to be cheaper for the Indian consumer. Mm. That's an opportunity for us. So there's an opportunity for everybody. People, you know, just got to figure it out.
People will be looking for value. People will be looking for
exactly.
ease of acquiring things. Course. All right. Well, our thanks to Griffith David, founder, CEO of Habanero Foods International. And we certainly look forward to welcoming you to the studio the next time you can actually get to Singapore. But in the meantime,
looking forward to that.
Yeah, in the meantime, thanks for your time today, Griff.
Thank you so much, Glenn, and hello to everybody.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.